This morning, our devotional background study is from the book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief, and thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and his pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall his righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto the death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Today's lesson is entitled, He Is Not Here, and it deals with our risen Savior. We've had this is an ongoing lesson plan here. We had 2 weeks ago the betrayal of Jesus, and then last week Bert taught up on the day Christ died. And this lesson today, He Is Not Here, is the culmination of the events that have happened. And it's hard for me to grasp the importance of this lesson today. And what I mean is, it is without a doubt the most important event that this world has ever seen. It is the rising of our Lord from the grave and the victory over death. I'm going to try to teach today, but I can tell you right now that I won't be able to give this lesson the attention and the detail and the thought that it deserves, because it's almost overwhelming for me. But I will do the best I can. We start with Matthew 28 and 1, and we're gonna read from Matthew, then Mark, then Luke here, the three of the four Gospels and the descriptions of the day that Christ is risen. Matthew 28 and 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And then we go to Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. And then Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned unto the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. One of the things that I noticed here upon reading or in studying upon this lesson was at the first part of both Matthew and Mark, it says, in the end of the Sabbath. And then in Mark it says, and when the Sabbath was passed. And I think that is not just happenstance, but rather it lets us know that the Old Testament ways are done. They're over with. The sacrifices are no longer needed. That the Lord has been the sacrifice, and he has put away the old rituals. And now a new time has dawned here. Not that men are to be saved any different. They were to be saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as well. And I won't be going into that too much. But this was a turning point. This was the end of an era, if you will. And these people that are going to this sepulchre, you know, there are men and women both this day that went to that sepulchre. And they were Jews. They had worshipped in the Old Testament. They had worshipped under the law. They had kept the commandments of the law, which they should have done, which they were commanded to do. But that time has passed. And I think that's the intent here in the end of the Sabbath. Yeah, it was the end of the Sabbath day for them, the end of the Saturday night. But it was truly the end of the worship of the sacrifices, of the animal sacrifices of the law. And it was the beginning of the church age, of the way that we worship the Lord today, is the way that we're commanded to. When the Lord arose, he was the perfect sacrifice, and he did arise that day. He was the fulfillment of all those types and shadows in the Old Testament law. So they were no longer needed. I'm sure that they couldn't comprehend what was going on at that time. They had been told, they had been prophesied to, and the Lord had talked to them directly. He had told them what was going to happen, that he would be put to death, and he used it in those words. Yet they didn't understand. And they're going to that sepulcher on that day thinking they're going to find his body. They didn't understand. We're not a whole lot different today, because there are so much about this lesson that I can't understand. I can't grasp some of it. It overwhelms me to think about it, both the reasons and the love that the Lord had for me, and the way that I failed to study the way that I ought to, the way that I failed to pray, and yet He still loves me. That part is hard for me to comprehend. You know, the physical aspect of it, the raising of the dead, I can't comprehend that either, other than to realize it was just a miracle, and to grasp, try to grasp the fact that it lets me know that someday I'll rise out of this body. I don't know if I'm going to die and be buried, and I don't know if the Lord's going to come back first. He may very well come back. You know, no man knows the time or date, and I wouldn't even dare to guess upon that. I don't see any reason why He couldn't come back today or tomorrow, but there, you know, as far as I can tell, what I'm trying to say is all the prophecies have been fulfilled, but I don't know. Maybe they haven't. Maybe there is still prophecy to be fulfilled. I don't understand a lot of that. And that's the condition that the people were in. They didn't understand, as they were going to that sepulcher, what they were going to find. And they're thinking they're going to find Him dead. They're going there to anoint His body. And yet, when they got to the sepulcher, and the angels kind of explained to them that the Lord has arisen, they believed. They believed what they were told. They felt that in their heart, I believe, just as we today can gather here and we can feel the Spirit moving among us, and one of y'all stands up and says, y'all, you have a burden on your heart for somebody or something, and I believe what I hear from you. And when I stand up and I request prayer, I believe when the Lord's dealing with me to tell me to do something, I think you can sense that. You can know and you can believe and understand. What gets to me sometimes is I allow my mind to kind of interfere with the Spirit of the Lord in my heart. And it kind of clouds things up. And I think that's the problem that we as human beings face. We let our mind get in the way of what the Lord is dealing with in our heart. And I think that these people, the two Marys and Peter later on will go to the sepulcher. And I'm sure there was a whole host of other people that aren't mentioned in the Bible that were saved individuals that dealt with our Lord, that talked to Him, that listened to Him, that did everything as best they could. And yet I believe their mind still tended to cloud what the Lord would have them to do. It's the warfare that Paul spoke of. What I know I need to do, what I should do, I let my body get in the way. I let my carnal mind interfere with those things. It's that inward man and that outward man, and that war that goes on. And I think that was the reason that they failed to understand in large part what was going on here. And yet, when it was explained to them, they believed. They went back and they told the others, and they said, you know, what has happened, what they described, the Lord has arisen. This is what He meant when He said, I'll arise. He meant that. And they understood that then. We today, myself, I need to, as much as possible, lay aside my own carnal thoughts, my mind, and try to depend upon the Lord, to have the faith and trust in Him and let Him guide my heart, that I might know what to do and that I might put aside things of the world. It's so easy to get caught up in the things of the world. We have so much today. We're such a blessed country with all of the, you know, plenty to eat, clothes to wear, electric heat, electric air conditioning, our cars and the way that we can go places. It's a lot of times, speaking for myself, I let it get in my way, and I get to thinking about those things and concentrating. Those things are really not important, and yet it's so easy for us as human beings to let them become important when we really need to be concentrating on spiritual things, godly things, what God would have us to do, trusting in Him, having faith in Him, because that's where I fail a lot of times, to have the faith, to trust in Him. And, you know, you, I don't think I have near the faith or the trust that these people did on the day when they were headed toward the sepulcher. And yet they still didn't have what it was taking to fully understand what was going on. We've read here three of the Gospels. I want to flip over just for a second to John, and we'll go ahead and get the fourth Gospel also, and that's in the 20th chapter, and starting with the first verse. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And you see here, she doesn't understand. She's looking at this with her carnal mind, with her thoughts, and not believing with her heart. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now, when you stop and you study these and you compare them, you see what you might think is discrepancies, but I don't think that they really are discrepancies. What I believe is, quite likely, Mary Magdalene has gone twice, because she goes back and she tells the others. She tells Peter and John, the other disciple is how John refers to himself. She tells them what has gone on, and I believe she goes back. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to read some commentary. This is Schofield's commentary, and he describes the order of events. It's possible he doesn't describe this right. I don't know. I mean, I'm always a little hesitant to read commentary, but I think he does have it right. I think he's got on track here. But if you don't believe what he says here, that's fine. I mean, I have no qualm with that. But he says here, the order of events combining the four narratives is as follows. Three women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, start for the sepulchre, followed by other women bearing spices. The three find the stone rolled away, and Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, draws near to the tomb and sees the angel of the Lord. She goes back to meet the other women following with the spices. Meanwhile, Peter and John, warned by Mary Magdalene, arrive, look in, and go away. Mary Magdalene returns weeping, sees the two angels, and then Jesus. I didn't read that. That was later on in John. And then Jesus, and goes as he bade her to tell the disciples. Mary, mother of James and Joseph, meanwhile, has met the women with the spices, and returning with them, they see the two angels. They also receive the angelic message, and going to seek the disciples are met by Jesus. The reason I wanted to read that commentary was to help everyone understand that just because you may read in one gospel that there was one angel and in another gospel there was two, keep in mind that that may be a different time. I don't think that everything that occurred at the sepulchre that day necessarily occurred in just a matter of a few minutes. I think that sepulchre was a busy place that day, all day long, with people coming and going, because Jesus had a lot of disciples. Jesus had a lot of followers. People believed. He had been among them. He had talked to them. And I believe this word got out, and that there were all manner of people going and seeing where he laid that day, understanding that he had risen. We tend to maybe think that it was just Mary and Peter and John, but I don't think that was the case. I think that there was a lot of activity that day around that sepulcher, a lot of activity that's not recorded. Those are just my thoughts, you know. If you disagree, there's, you know, that's fine, and I'm not saying that I'm right. But I just want you to stop, because I had never really studied it a whole lot as much as I should, and as I studied it and I thought about it, this, again, like I said earlier, this was the greatest event that's ever happened, and I think that as much as they failed to comprehend what was going on, they did understand and know that it was a great event. They knew that the Spirit of God was at that place. They knew that the Lord was moving. They may have not understood exactly what it was, and you know, a lot of times we can feel the Lord, and a lot of times I feel the Lord, and I don't understand. I know that something's, I need to pray. I have that happen a lot. I need to pray for somebody, or I need to pray about something, and I don't really understand why. I don't really understand what's going on, but I know that I need to listen to him. I know I need to just do what he says. I need to trust him, and that's what it's all about. We need to pray to the Lord. We may not understand that. You know, I read the Bible a lot. I don't understand a lot when I read the Bible, but I need to know, I need to trust God and believe that it's there for a reason. It has a meaning. I may not know what that meaning is, but it is there. And I know that because he arose, I someday will have a home in glory. I'll go on and I'll have a new body. I'll have a perfect body, not one that's aching and failing and having problems. That's all going to come to pass someday. Does anybody have any questions and comments?
Yeah, I think one thing, when the angel come down the road back to the stone, I don't know how big it was.
Says it was great.
Great size. Mm-hmm. An angel, he's pretty strong. You know, one time an angel, I don't know how many people he killed in this, the desert, the children of Israel. But we don't really, I don't think it was Lord, his really his worth on how much he, how strong he is, how strong his angel.
The thought that came to my mind when I read that was that the Lord took care of the things that they couldn't do. Those women were going there to anoint his body, and they're wondering, how are we going to roll this stone back? Well, the Lord had already taken care of that for them, and they didn't need to be concerned with it. And the Lord knew that there wasn't going to be a body to be anointed, and yet he was still there to pave the way for them, so to speak. To do for them the things that they couldn't do. And he'll do the things for us that we can't do if we're willing to go on the road, go on the path that he directs us and do what it is he's leading our hearts to do. If we'll do that, he'll remove the stones out of the way. But, you know, to be honest with you, if it had been me, I would have probably said, there's no point in going there. There's a big stone in the way. I can't roll that out. I'm sad to say it, but I'd have probably stayed home because that stone would have been in my way. But I think they had faith there to believe that he was going to roll that stone out of the way.
Another question I have, two angels another time that reached out there. I think maybe you'll have to repeat that when you said it was a different time of the day. Mm-hmm.
Brother Vanderpool in his commentary has a thought also. He says, no human eyes witnessed the resurrection. Even the guards were unconscious. Thus, no one can be saved because he or she witnessed the event. And I thought that was kind of interesting. That, you know, it's true. No one witnessed that. And yet, we do know that it happened. Does anybody else?
Yeah.
everything straightened up in order, taken care of, complete. All the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and finished. If we're done, let's keep Brother Armour in our prayers. Lord, might give him guidance. And Brother Langford, would you dismiss us?
Righteous Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank thee for the many blessings that we received this week. Thank thee for the many blessings we receive all through our life. Ask now that you might look down upon us, you might bless us, lead us and guide us to thy Holy Spirit. Most of all, we pray, Lord, there might be some in their midst that know not they are free part of sin. This might be the day they might hear something or be touched to call from the sea gate that they find me precious to their God's soul. Ask it now to go with us in this service and turn next to us with a pastor. We'll let my father our head quick as he stands. He might be with him and preach the truth. Faith and blessings, bless in the name of Jesus. For his sake, we do.